Man, all right, so let's jump into this. All year long, we've been talking about the year of opportunity, really kind of studying the life of Jesus. Just wrapped up a 34-part series in the Gospel of Mark. And we've really just been studying his life. Jesus, how did you do it? How were you so sensitive to everything the Holy Spirit said? How were you so reactive to the direction of the Father? How did you maximize every opportunity? And we've been talking about the fact all year long that we are surrounded by opportunities that God sets up for us. Our job is to walk into them. That's been our focus. What I want to do this morning is shift our focus slightly. From in the partnership with God, there's his side of what he does, and he's brilliant at it. And then there's our side. On our side, not only do we need to react to the beautiful opportunities God puts around us, but sometimes it's our job to cultivate and create the opportunities for the Holy Spirit to move through. That's kind of what I want to focus on today. What I want to do is realize that although the Lord always initiates ministry opportunity, we can either do it well or we can do it poorly. Imagine you get a call from an old friend, haven't seen him in 15 years. Hey, Jim, what's up? I haven't talked to you in a really long time. Oh, right on. How you doing? Stuff like that. Hey, you want to get coffee? Yeah. You have a brand new relationship back in your life. You can either mess that up with your witness or you can set it on a great trajectory. You get a brand new job. You get a brand new team at work. You can either set that up for a place to minister or set that up for a place of resistance. I mean, we can sit there and run through these analogies all day. The goal is simply this. I want us to learn the art of stewarding and creating healthy opportunities for God to flow through us. And that is the fill in the blank on the sheet in front of you. If you've been given one of those at the front door, write down this fill in the blank. If you are watching online, fire up the app, follow along with us. Effective ministry requires proper preparation. Effective ministry requires proper preparation. God can always do stuff without us, but he doesn't want to. He involves us because we're his kids. He loves the bonding and the connection of us doing stuff with him. But we need to use our side well, and there's an art form to it. We want to be the people that strategically know how to guide conversation in an intentional way toward the Lord without being awkward. Amen? Man, what is wrong with Christians sometimes? Man, I know we got to be weird in some ways, but do we got to be weird in every way? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain things we got to be a little bit more natural about. We want to be a congregation filled with equipped individuals to be salt and light in a powerful way in our culture and in our friend groups. And although we talk a lot about how to interact with other Christians, I want to talk primarily about those that are not yet believers. I want to talk about the Christians' influence on the rest of the world. Because back in the day, man, we used to have a lot in common. Nowadays, it's getting less and less. As a matter of fact, our reputation out there ain't great. As a matter of fact, when you start talking to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, hasn't been hanging out with Jesus, you got to overcome an obstacle before you open your mouth. Because nowadays, they've seen stuff on TV, it's bogus. Saw stuff, heard stuff on the radio, bogus. They've had all kinds of weird scandals they've heard about. They haven't heard the good stuff, they heard the bad stuff. And now Christians are suspect. They're waiting for hate to come out of our mouths when we're supposed to be known for love. How's that working out for us? Not great. So when we have conversations with those that do not yet know the Lord, there's a lot of things we need to keep in mind. How are we gonna do that? How are we going to focus on our communication? How are we gonna be intentional? How are we gonna be strategic? How are we gonna be loving? That's what we need to talk about. Found out the best way to do that is to just kind of study an expert, right? Study an expert. Anybody ever heard of the Apostle Paul? He's pretty good at it, right? I mean, you want to talk about a dude that just nailed it, a guy that's so over the top, a man that is so brilliant. I'm going to share in a moment kind of his stat sheet. It's pretty stunning. But if we were to encapsulate his mindset, if we were to encapsulate what made him have such great magic with people, I think it really kind of boils down to one premise. We're actually going to read this passage twice. I'm going to read it here at the beginning and a little later. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. And the Bible's in front of you. It's under the seat in front of you. It's around page 956, 957. Page 956, 957. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. You can follow along with me. Paul said this, "For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them." Let's just even pause on that one. What'd you just hear? There is nothing about entitlement and everything about servanthood. As a Christian, you go out there and you serve. That's what we do. This whole business about us getting offended, I want to address that for a moment. Servants ought not get as offended as they are. You only get offended if you believe that you should be treated differently, right? And we as Christians, it's really stunning to me, we're always surprised when we're offended. And you kind of go, "Didn't you see it coming?" Like, oh, and then we get surprised about how people act. "Oh, have you heard what they're doing?" Hold on, if I vacuumed Jesus out of your life, would you not look for the same stuff? Don't forget where you came from. Why in the world are we placing Christian expectations on an unchristian world? That doesn't make any sense to me. So instead of this whole spirit of offense, "Oh, they didn't react well to me. Oh, they kind of made fun of me." What did you think was gonna happen? Like, of course, they don't understand. So why wouldn't they react like that? I don't think we should be running around being offended as much as we should be running around and seeing a way that we can love on somebody and maybe change the narrative. Yeah? Isn't that our job? I think that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, praise God. Let's clap for that. Come on. Come on. Verse 20, he gives you some examples. He said, "To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though myself I wasn't under the law, that I might win those. To those outside the law, I became as one of them." I wasn't outside the law of God, of course. I was under the law of Christ, that I might win them. "To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak." And this is the key. "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some, and I do it all for the sake of the gospel." You want to talk about the magic of Paul the Apostle, it's flexibility and morphing to the environment. The ability to shift and move and get into other people's worlds, the way to listen and watch and connect and find common ground, the ability to know what is happening, what other people care about, and let's start from there. If you want to talk about the whole, let's not get into the judgmental thing. If you want to talk about leading with love, all that is right here. This is his premise. Well, how did it go? Well, let's read his stat sheet. One of the greatest evangelists of all time, yeah? I mean, you want to talk about a guy who gave his life all in, got saved relatively around the age of 27. The rest of his life, died at 60. The second half of his life, he was a Christian. First half of his life, a little different story. We'll talk about that in a moment. The Bible only accounts for or records the last 13 years of his life. In the last 13 years of his life, it records that he ministered on two continents, through four countries, and in just four trips, traveled over 10,000 miles, either by foot or by sea. That's committed. That dude's fired up. That guy's all in. I mean, this is an incredible, incredible story. So what I wanted to do was kind of study his method because of Jesus's work shared by Paul the Apostle, led to the world being transformed through the church, and it became the worldwide religion within 300 years. That's effectiveness. How do we do that? How do we transform our region? What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pull out eight principles that I found in Paul, both in his teachings, in his life, everything else, and I'm gonna give those to you. So if you're a note taker, you better get ready on this. Got a couple other things. I wanna remind you of Paul's story, his conversion. You guys remember this? He used to be a bad guy, right? And you're like, "Oh, you're being judgmental." Okay, well, Well, he killed Christians. I don't know how you want to categorize that. If that's on your resume, I'll call you a bad person too. A Christian killer, imprisoner guy, and he thought he was doing the right thing. Most bad guys don't think they're bad guys, right? So he was doing it for God, and he's like, man, I love the Lord so much. There's this bogus Christian thing that arose, and I got to shut those people down, okay? So he thought he was doing right. He wasn't. Hurting a lot of people, tearing a lot of families apart. Anyway, so he's on his way to go do it again. All of a sudden, he's walking down the road with some buddies, and this bright light shines down. So bright, blinds him, he just knocks him down to the ground, and a voice comes out. This is where you wet yourself. And the voice says, why are you persecuting me? Which right now, whatever disembodied voice, it's angry at you. And you're like, oh shoot, I don't even know what's going on. So you gotta ask the obvious question, who are you? Like, obviously I'm in trouble with you. Obviously you can crush me like a bug. Who are you? And what did the voice say? I'm Jesus Christ, who you're persecuting. Man, you gotta imagine that moment. You have been throwing people that are called Christians, baby Jesuses. You have been throwing people into prison, ripping apart lives. And now, not only is that dude alive, he's like God. And you're like, whoa, your whole mind bender. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna get destroyed. I don't know what happened. Boom, the lights go out and you go blind. Talk about scary. I was like, God, that was a cool move, right? He was like, no, I'm gonna freak you out. Watch this, click, oh, you can't see. He's had to get led back into town. Eventually, God had to get a Christian to come pray for him. Now, you know how many people he had to dial up? Hey, real quick, I just need you to go see a Christian killer. Christian, anybody? Anybody? No? Nobody's on the line. Okay, great. Let's go ahead and call Ananias. Great. Finally, he gets a guy. The guy comes over and he's like, Paul, I got to pray for you. Tells him the truth. Boom, scales fall from his eyes. Radical transformation. And he's on fire. That's the story of Paul. Now, interesting. Most of us will tend to minister to other people the way we were reached. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like if you got saved through the influence of your parents or your family, you'll have that in your mind. If you got saved from confrontation on the street, you're gonna react that way. If you got saved through an intellectual conversation or through a book, you're gonna think that way. Here's the truth. There is no one best way. We need all that variety. But just don't blame other people for their lane, right? I get into this little bit of a judgmental evangelism vibe, right? Because for me, I really can't stand confrontational street evangelism. And yet, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have been reached through that method. So this whole business about I get to judge somebody else's method, don't you dare do that. Let them be them because they're reaching who they need to reach, right? I'm like, well, I got everyone to do it my way. No, we don't need that. We need all kinds of variety out there. Man, if they're preaching Jesus Christ out of a good heart, man, let's let them go, yeah? So whatever vibe you're in, however you got reached, man, that's really, really good for you. But Paul had a bit of a problem. You can't always blind people. Is that true? Like, hey, you should become a Christian. Flashlight in their eye, right? Then you knock them down, right? Like, you can't really have that same experience. That's weird. But if you take the pieces and components of it, radical supernatural event, connection with Jesus, that probably defines Paul's later ministry. He went everywhere doing supernatural works and sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. He actually did minister to everybody the way that he was ministered to. And it was powerful. It was effective. I went through and studied all of Paul's writings. He wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament. And because it's a very nerdy thing to do, I knew you wouldn't do it. So I figured you're paying me for something, so I did it. So I went through all of his letters. And I was pulling out of every letter, and in my longer notes, I have it all written down. This is what I learned from Romans. This is what I learned from 1 Corinthians. And I went through all of them, and I pulled out all the nuggets about how we should interact with the world around us. And I kind of compiled them in my mind, and I kind of wrote them down and got the gist. That's where I got a lot of the notes we're about to take from. But I noticed that Paul was super consistent about his viewpoint, his theology on sharing his faith. He was very consistent on his methodology. He was fully focused on the task at hand. He lived and died sharing the gospel and making the most of every opportunity. But the core of why he was so successful was morphing into the environment. Flexibility, intentionality, strategy. He was so good, so brilliant. So what can we take from it? We're gonna take these eight things. Let's read again 1 Corinthians 9:19 that we just read. Shorthand style. For though I am free from all, I made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, to those under the law, to those outside the law, to the weak, didn't matter. I morphed, walked in their shoes, understood what was important to them, understood what they care about, and I took them from where they were and I moved them to where they needed to be. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some, because I'll do anything for the sake of the gospel. If you're ready to take notes, let's do this. Here we go. Number one, write this down. Number one, tell your story. Tell your story. Paul the Apostle told his story in the book of Acts at least three times. He would share his personal story over, over, over. Everybody would get impacted by this. It was a pretty radical story. I'm gonna suggest to you, it is your secret weapon. It is your most powerful tool. You already know it. You're relatively comfortable knowing the material. If you share it, it will sound most natural. It's real. It's true. It's the least stressful thing. It's just storytelling and talking. You don't have to go to seminary to learn your story. You don't have to be brilliant to learn your story. You don't have to be wealthy to know your story. It's your story. You got this. I know some people are nervous about sharing their personal lives. That's a comfort zone you got to get over. Oh man, I don't really want to talk about personal thing. Yeah, God's personal. And honestly, if we're going to talk about salvation, that's personal. So I understand that's not comfortable. That may be the one obstacle or barrier you need to step over, but really you're doing it because you love them a lot. That's a good motivator, right? Tell your story. Few people are motivated by data and information. More people are moved by stories that are real. As a matter of fact, what people are looking for in the world today is something real. You cannot prove the existence of God, but you're walking proof that he's real. A testimony is better than any sermon. I can get up here and I can share all kinds of information and inspiration and motivation, but when you hear a testimony and it's a real life, that'll hit you in the gut. That'll change you. You changed. Why? Tell that story. God, you don't have all the answers, but you got your piece, right? And in most interactions in life, you're gonna have an opportunity to tell your story. Most people know your story, right? That you know? They probably know your story, but every once in a while, there's these relationships, it just never came up, right? And now it's a little bit, you've known them a little bit, so it's not like it's a brand new thing. And you go, man, I don't even know how to broach the subject. I'm gonna give you some help, ready? Here's how you broach the subject. Hey dude, do you wanna go to coffee? Why? I don't know, I wanted to share my story with you. That's weird. What do you mean you're gonna share your story? What is your story? Well, I wanna tell you a little bit about why I am the way I am, because every time I start talking about any God stuff, you're always like, oh, looking at me weird, okay? So I thought I would probably explain myself and share a little bit about what's going on there. Are you down for coffee? I guess. That's probably how it's gonna go. And then they're in there. Now there's nothing awkward. You literally just set it up like that. So you have coffee and then you finish out. And remember, as you're finishing out on all this stuff, you just go, man, this is how it worked for me. Do not go, and you know how it can work for you? Okay, just think and tell your story, drink the coffee, move on, right? Don't be weird, knock it off. All right. I know, but you just naturally, you're weird. You're very good at it too, Mike. Yeah.
Thank you.
Number two, write this down. Leverage your transformation. leverage your transformation, right? Paul was one type of guy, and that was really moving because he's like, man, I used to kill these people. Now I am one of them. That's a pretty dramatic story. Share your story. You used to be one sort. God changed you dramatically. Talk about that. It's captivating to hear someone's story of radically changing their life. You share the old you versus the new you, but never explain it as a done deal. Man, I used to be terrible, and now I'm amazing. Here's the vibe. You don't have to use these exact words. I once was a significant loser. I am now kind of a loser. Does that make sense? Like, that's a little more realistic, and that would be more helpful to share. And the idea is merely that God is changing you. Now, not all of us had a radical story like that. Not all of us had a Paul the Apostle type story, right? I mean, you've all heard these radical testimonies. I've heard them. You here have some of those that will like blow your mind, jaw-dropping stories, right? And I don't have one of those. I don't know if you have one of those, but not everybody can be like, I was a nun who was, I took hits out on people. I was an assassin. You know, like, okay, well, that's very weird. Thank you. We don't all have that. What if you had a more mellow transformation, right? There wasn't any bright light. There wasn't any scales falling from your eyes. What if you had a more mellow externally transformation? Then talk about the inside, because the inside's radical. Hey man, I used to not be into any of this stuff. As a matter of fact, I was pretty agnostic to it, and I was totally against it. I was atheistic. I remember getting hurt by people, hurt by the church. I didn't like any of these people. Now I am one of them. How the heck did that happen? That's a transformation. It doesn't have to always be radical on action. It can be radical up in your head because that's really what drives us. Share that story. But if you're like me, right, and you got saved, kind of you woke up and breathed in Jesus' air, you know what I'm talking about? Like my mom was my role model, and so I got saved super young, right? Anybody got one of those stories? You got the, I was saved before I knew what was going on? Okay, yeah. A bunch of you. Okay, don't make something up, right? Because you were like, I remember standing in the crib, and I was like reflecting on my sin. I took one more swig of my bottle. You know, like, just don't be stupid, okay? So if you don't have one of those, share other people's stories of transformation because they changed their life, it impacted you, it can change somebody else's life. Begin to share the story of Paul. Begin to share the story of your friend. Begin to share the amazing stories you've learned in church because it helps people connect it to real life. They just wanna know that it will work for them. That's why we do that. Number three, write this down. Leverage your social circle. Leverage your social circle. When Paul got saved, he primarily hung out with Jews. Why? Because he was Jewish. And he knew how they walk, how they talk. He knew everything about their culture. He didn't have all those obstacles, right? You go into the foreign mission field, you got to learn another culture. Just start right in your own pocket, right? Every one of us has a mission field. Every one of us has an automatic influence circle. If you're Latino, you have access to the Hispanic community. If you are wealthy, you have access to wealthy. If you're poor, you have access to needy. If you're a business person, you have access to the business world. We all have someone or some group, a circle of influence. Use that first. I mean, whether or not you're ever gonna be called out to go on a global mission, I don't know. I think it's awesome if you do, but I sure think we should walk across the street, right? Because I mean, that's our neighborhood, that's our people, that's people that are just like us. So why not start talking their language? You know what they want, it's the same thing you wanted. You know what hurts them, it's the same thing that hurt you. You get it? All those felt needs, just begin to work through that. Paul knew he'd always begin in the synagogues. That wasn't just a prophetic fulfillment. That was practical. He was a Jew. He reached Jews first, then he went for Gentiles. That's how it worked. All right, number four, write this down. Watch for God's open doors. Watch for God's open doors. Over and over, we see Paul, and it looks like God is on a walkie-talkie. You know what I'm talking about? Like everywhere he goes, it seems to be kind of cool. And you know, God's like, here we go. We're going to Philippi, everybody. Release the angels. We will be there in 5 minutes. 5 minutes countdown. And you're like, man, I wish I had a walkie-talkie to God. That would be awesome. Going into Walmart. Release the angels, aisle 7. Correction, aisle 8. Pick up Pokemon cards. To Paul, it was just like us. He's walking through and just feels normal. It feels random, feels a little bit weird. Feels like, man, I stumbled upon this. Only when you look back do you see the hand of God clearly. And so this whole business where you go, man, I'll do it as soon as God tells me what's up. God will tell you what's up when it's done. And that's what's so weird about it. So we gotta be sensitive to things. Like one of the biggest moves Paul ever made was going into Europe and spreading the gospel into Europe. You guys remember that story? It's the only reason, in my opinion, why it went worldwide, why it went into the Roman Empire, why it became here in America. I mean, we owe it a lot to this one story. Anybody remember the story? It's called the Macedonian Call. Paul, and this is the setup, Paul had tried to minister going north. And you know what? Didn't work out. Man, there was no open door. Tried to go east. Nope, got blocked. Felt like God was against him. Tried to go south, no opportunities. And he's stuck on a beach. You can't go east when it's water. So he's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he has a dream. A Greek guy shows up in his dream. Come help us. He was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get on a boat. Takes off, goes over, and starts ministering in what we call Europe now. Had he not been sensitive to the Lord to let God block him in the other areas? There are some of us that are so hard-headed, we've been trying to shove the gospel down the same people's throats for way too long. Move on. Quit being a nagger. Like, just move on. Like, God didn't open that door yet. Okay, cool. Give him some space, right? And then is there sometimes it's hard and we got to push through? Yeah, but try to listen to the Lord because sometimes he's just stopping you. This is not for you. This is somebody else. Go that way. And then he was sensitive enough to tie in the dream to know that God was talking to him. And boom, he goes over to Europe and the whole world changes. You're like, well, how do doors get open? God opens them. You go, how do you know that? 1 Corinthians 16:8. Paul said, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. That was it. Like, Paul didn't do it. He was like, wow, a door open. I'm going to take advantage of it. You go, but what if I don't want to wait for the door to open? Aha, I have a verse for you. Colossians 4:3. Paul said, pray for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Man, if you're like, man, there's no open doors, pray about it. God, I've been checking all the doors. They're all locked. Will you open a door? Then all of a sudden something shifts in somebody's life around you and boom, the door's open. We gotta pray for the people we love. We gotta pray for those open opportunities to bring them hope and joy and love. Number 5, write this down, be alert. Be alert. One of the coolest stories that Paul got to tell was, he's like, so me and Silas are hanging out, right? We totally get arrested. I hate getting arrested. I always get arrested. Anyway, so I'm in this jail. I don't know if I mentioned I got arrested. Anyway, so I'm in this jail, right? It's nighttime. We're bored out of our minds. We're chained to the wall. And I'm like, dude, let's pray. And they would always pray out loud. And the prisoners are like, shut up, you know, that kind of thing. And then he's like, and then we start singing. He's like, you know, I have a killer voice, but Paul's lame, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, so they just start singing some hymns in the jail. Now, here's something interesting to me. They were alert. If they truly thought, you know what, I'm disappointed in my life. I can't believe I was just trying to do the right thing. Everything bad happens to me. They would have just sat gloomy in their darkness. Nope. They're like, man, God can use anything. I got no idea if we're on tonight, but I'm gonna assume we're on tonight, so let's go, right? And they're just ministering loud in front of all the other prisoners, and they have no way to do anything cool. They're chained there. So they just start singing. All of a sudden, wham, an earthquake hits. That's odd timing. An earthquake shatters it. Now, earthquakes are one thing in the Middle East. I ain't never heard of an earthquake that broke chains off people's wrists. That would be a lot of shaking. All of a sudden, boom, boom, chains come off, doors all break open. And you would assume all the prisoners are like, I'm out of here, man. Right? I'm taking the most of the opportunity, right? The year of opportunity. And just run. And Paul's like, hold on, guys, hold on a second. The jailer comes in. Oh, I can't. They're going to kill me. I might as well kill myself. He's ready to kill himself. Can't let the prisoners go. Paul's like, dude, we're right here. We're all here. We're good. Guy gets saved. His whole family gets saved. They get baptized. Who would have thought? You're chained to a wall. You think that limits God? Listen, we're never off. I know we act like we're off. We're just never off. If you're a Christian, you live in a fishbowl. Everybody's watching all the time. Is that not true? They're watching. You thought your kids absorbed everything. How about your coworkers? They're absorbing every single thing you do. How do you handle difficulty? How do you handle, and they may even been looking through the lens of waiting for you to blow it, right? Oh, you're being watched. You're like, how can I have a better witness? Live like you're on. Pick it up, verse six. Excuse me, point six. What a nerdy pastor thing to do. Okay, sorry about that. Number six, like regular people talk. Gosh. Babe, I have a couple errands I have to run. I have verse five, I have verse seven. Okay. Number six, start from where they are. Start from where they are. Start from where they are. Maybe the most famous message that Paul preached was in Athens, Greece. I don't know if you know this story, but he's actually there waiting for his buddies to show up, and he was just killing time. But because he knows he's never off, he was like, I might as well make the use of it. So he's walking around the city, and he's like, dang, these people are pagan. Like, man, there's altars to everything. There's like bunny god and lizard god, and like everything's out, butterfly god. And he's like, man, this is weird. This is kind of creepy, to be honest with you. And he goes over, and he sees a big one that says, to the unknown god. And he was like, that's a catch-all god. That's a PC god, right? Like if we don't offend any gods out there, we gotcha, right? And so he's like, I'll put that in my back pocket. All of a sudden he goes up and has a connection with influencers. They were the philosophers at the time. He gets actually a hearing. How that happened must have been a God open door thing. He ends up talking to some of the greatest influencers of the day in Athens. And he was like, hey guys, I was walking around the city earlier. And I noticed you guys are super religious. Me too, a little different. But I want to talk to you about that. I want to tell you, you actually had one to the unknown God. It was almost like you were trying to do a big catch-all that kind of grabbed the biggest, baddest God. That's actually my dude. And I just wanted to talk about that, if that's all right. Did you see how he did it? He didn't walk in and go, man, you guys are so pagan. What the heck? You're all going to hell. There was no judge. He just walked in and he's like, dude, you guys are really religious. Me too. We just happen to look at it from different things. So how about we get on that playing field? Let's start talking about stuff that is important to you and important to me. What a beautiful morph into his environment. He would have never known that had he not studied his culture, right? He'd never been to Athens before, so he walks in, he's checking it out. What do the people care about that are near you? Because a lot of people are like, oh, I can't believe it's on TV today. Can't believe it's on the radio today. I never had songs like that. Correction, yes, you did. You thought you didn't, ask your parents. They think yours was gnarly too. All right, so you go, I can't believe what's out today. It's all symptoms of something else. Can we agree with that? Why they're talking about what they're talking about shows their core values. So what are their core values? What are their core needs? Great, let's talk about that. Do you not have the same core needs, but you're just meeting it through Jesus? So why can't we talk about what we both have in common? Hey, you don't like loneliness. I don't like loneliness. Hey, you need meaning in your life. I need meaning in my life. We're not different people. We're the same people. We just see different things. Why wouldn't we find common ground and start there? as opposed to shouting from the other side, "You need to fix your life." Did you fix your life without Jesus? And if not, you probably have the cart before the horse. Number 7, write this down. Partner up when possible. Partner up when possible. Paul never went anywhere alone. Missionary journey 1, Barnabas. Missionary journey 2, Silas. Proteges, Timothy, Titus. Partners in ministry that he worked with and ministered with, Priscilla and Aquila, and it goes on and on and on. The end of Romans is all his partnerships. Paul was never alone, if he could help it. I'm always suspicious of lone wolf ministers. They're usually super weird, and they don't have any accountability, and they only get weirder. You're like, "Hey, man, I'm a lone wolf." I know. And you're sketchy. We need each other to kind of iron sharpens iron. We need people to kind of help keep us out of our echo chamber. We need people to bounce things off of. We actually need to alter some things and dull some things down so that we're more relatable. We don't just get to go off and be by ourselves. God created us with a need to be with each other, for it is not good for man to be alone, and that was before sin entered into the world. Partner up wherever possible. Jesus sent everybody out, what? 2 by 2, right? Why? Because we need each other, and we'll be more effective if we do, yeah? Number 8, and in my opinion, this is probably emotionally my most important one. Doesn't mean it's the most important, it just means it matters to me. Write this down, it's just 2 words. Never manipulate. Never manipulate. Paul talked about it extensively in a whole bunch of his letters, whole bunch of his books. When you minister, it has to be fully about them. It's not about us. It can't be what we can get out of it. It's not a win-win, I get some, they think I'm cool and God gets glory. No, it's about them. They had a connection with God. They got more peace. They got more grace. They understood forgiveness. It has to be about them. We don't get to change the message, and we don't get to try to put stuff around it. We are not salespeople. Dude, if you get saved right now for a limited time only, man, there is, I swear, I kid you not. Yeah, man, limited time, you can get wealthy, you can get all kinds of stuff, but you gotta sign up now. You could be part of my downline. The heck? Are you multi-level marketing or a Christian? What the heck is going on there? Okay, so, No. We're not salesmen. We're not trying to manipulate. We're not trying to, you know, it's not what you get out of it. It's that they have an experience with Jesus. It's that they're joyful, that they're okay. You take the hits for them, right? Listen to how Paul wrote it. 1 Thessalonians 2:3. He said, our appeal, meaning us as ministers, does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. We've been approved by God and entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. We never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or anybody else. We share the gospel because we've seen the effects. We share the gospel because we care about the people around us. We share the gospel because it's right. We share the gospel because people are desperate for something they don't even know they need. We share the gospel because we're not selfish. That's why we share the gospel. It's not a power move. It's not a, I want to be right. It's not a, I won the argument. None of that. It's all about Jesus and them. Never manipulate. If you do, if you add to the gospel, it will eventually fail because it's not the right gospel. Then they're going to be super disappointed and we may never get them back. Be honest, be truthful. Because I'll tell you this, the gospel unhindered is actually beautiful enough to change anybody's life. And it's steady and secure. When we walk out of here, we're on. We've been on the whole time, but you didn't get to hear the message till now. We're gonna go out of here, and we are the aroma of heaven. Some of the only Jesus people will meet. So everywhere we go out with an intentionality of being kind, loving, removing burden, praying for. That's what we do. Because I tell you this, if we only got just a couple things right, our region would be radically different. We can do this, y'all. There's nothing I said that was scary. It was shockingly normal and natural. Because I just want you to be the best version of you. Amen? Can I have the prayer team come on up here? If you need prayer, prayer team will be here after I finish praying us out. If you heard anything today that really makes you long for a relationship with Jesus Christ, today's the day. Come right up here. They're all equipped to lead you right through that prayer so that you too can become a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Jesus, none of this would be possible if it wasn't for you coming and dying for us, your love, your grace. And Holy Spirit, we would have no idea what we're doing if you weren't guiding us. So we submit to you right now. We surrender to you. And we just say, use us in whatever way you want to use us. Take over the control system. Walk us into conversations, walk us into interactions, and we'll try to be the best version of us. You gotta do the rest. So Lord, may we love like you love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a wonderful day.